Praise the Lord. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he an ever-present help in time of trouble? Amen. Praise God. Second Samuel chapter 5. Chapter 5, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 17. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. Verse 23. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of the going in the top of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so, as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Gibeah as thou comest to Gezer. The Lord will help me. I want to preach to you about these mulberry trees. God will help me for a few minutes. So glad that Brother Larry was here for his testimony. Brother Gary, Brother Shannon. All of them had a lot to contribute tonight. So if I don't say anything, you've already had said to you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Father, bless as only you can, with the help that only comes from you. Enable us to be a minister of the New Testament. If you'll give us grace, Lord, as we stand here behind this sacred desk, that we may feed the flock of God. And we will thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. David is one of those characters that all of us identify with in some part of his life. If not his early youth, then his middle age. If not his middle age, then his old age. We find some place of David that David speaks to our heart. Here's one of those instances that the Holy Ghost pulled out, and there's probably more than this that could have been written that wasn't written, but these were pulled out. This verse 17 to verse 25 is that part of the life of David that tells us some things. This herald of a coming victory. When thou hearest the sound of the going in the tops of the mulberry trees, then thou shalt bestir thyself. This second book of Samuel tells us, falls into two main sections of the life of David. Chapters 1 to 10, David's triumphs. Chapters 11 to 24, David's troubles. The 10th verse of the 5th chapter, when you read it, is a summary of all the chapters that you will hear about David. It simply says, And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. Only the Bible has a way of summarizing chapters. And that's a summary of where David was in his triumph years. For David, because of his sin, broke his life into two sections, the first ways of David and the second ways of David. And that possibility is always there with all of us.
Amen.
That if we don't follow on to know the Lord, our life can be broken into success and failure. And we look at this part of David's life where the success was running high, and it is said of him that David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. That is just a summary of what God was doing. In the marginal reference of my Bible, it says this of those words, that David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. The Hebrew just simply says, he went going and growing. He went going and growing. That should be the aim of all of us.
Amen.
Going, growing.
Amen.
David went on and grew great. David went on going and growing, going and growing, going and growing. What a theme for a church. What a theme for 2012. Going and growing. What a theme for all of our hearts.
Right.
David's first part of 1 through 10 was the sunshine of his life. Then the clouds move in. The heartaches come. Triumphs turn to tragedies. Great men fall. See the crown on his head. You see the crown at his feet. He's at the mercies of God. Only God can restore him. He is guilty of a crime that will cause him to be stoned if God executes his judgment. He is in a perilous position. But before we get to there, we need to look at what is happening now. David is talking here about the experience that he had this day when he faced the Philistines right after being anointed king over Israel. He comes out from under the shadow of Saul. He is now ascending to the throne of Israel. He is now their anointed king, and the first thing he faces is opposition from the Philistines. The Philistines come up and set themselves. David inquired of the Lord, as it says there in verse 19, "And shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hands?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hands." David went up and he smote them. And then here they come again. That's the story of life. With going and growing, there is always the coming again. Troubles that we don't put under our feet once and for all will always come back. There's some things you cannot show mercy to. You should smite them until there's nothing left of them. Because if you don't smite them today, they'll be back tomorrow. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You cannot just toy with sin. Many of us have a lot of go, but we don't have much grow. We're always ready to go. Let's go to fellowship meeting. Let's go to camp meeting. Let's go out to eat. We got plenty of go, but grow. Grow is something that you need in 2012. You've got to get some roots down. There's coming a shaking time. You've got to have some roots down before you can shoot up. The more root system you got, the more fruit you can bear.
Amen.
And David not only was going, but he was growing, which implies that he was having a very good relationship with God at this moment. His aspects of life and service was very one of those things that you look in admiration at this young man and say, "Great God, how did he get that favor? How did he get that favor from God? Who was he?" The eldest son of Jesse. What was his occupation? Sheep herder, the lowest of all. What did God do with him? Put him on a throne.
Amen.
But the secret of it is the very heart of David. David would say, "I dare not take one step without thine aid. I dare not take one step without thy aid." That's when we're going and growing. That's when we're on the right track. That's when our mind is right, our heart is right, our spirit is right. When we will not venture without God going with us.
Right.
Too many people want to walk without him and in trouble run back to him. Too many people just don't understand that God understands us completely. And he knows when you're dependent and when you're independent. God knows when you really are seeing yourself for what you really are and when you've got this crazy ideal about what you think you are. And oh, the hurt that can happen to you when you've got a wrong ideal of what you are. One of the things that we got to have is an inquiring spirit. We've got to come back to that prayer of inquiring of God. We've got to have an inquiring spirit. Prayer, intense, passionate, insistent, and believing will precede your growing. It will precede the church's revival. Come back, come back. David went straight to God with a problem. When David was going and growing, he went straight to God with every problem. He didn't mean if it's the Philistines or Saul or whatever it was. He asked God, "What do you want me to do? How shall I do this?" He depended upon God. And then when he got over there and got in trouble, you never find him praying about a matter. He's moving, acting, doing independently.
Right.
How dependent are you really upon God? Or is it all just honoring Him with your lips and your heart is far from Him? Nobody said amen to that, did they?
Amen.
A coming revival that we need individually comes from an inquiring spirit, going straight to God, asking God, looking for God's answer, waiting for God's leading, coming back to God. It's a simple message. It's nothing deep. It's nothing astounding. It's just a simple thing. How do you want your children to do? You want them to come to you with that question they're afraid to ask. When you find out that they're asking somebody else questions that they should have been asking you, you are offended. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We want them to ask us. Who has their well-being at heart any more than we do? But when God looks down as a father and sees us not inquiring, when God looks down as a father and sees us, we're not even interested in talking to Him about these problems. Well, it grieves the Spirit of God. No wonder David was a man after God's own heart, because he went to God's heart. He meant to capture God's heart. He meant to have God's heart. So he kept on coming back to God, coming again and again and again and again and again, until his whole life was one ordered step after another. You see, when we get to where we're like Nehemiah and we look at Jerusalem, which our heart loved, and we take that midnight ride around the walls and we see it all broken down, and we stop in the middle of the anguish of our soul, this beautiful city that we loved, where we was raised, and see it in ruins, we say, oh, how long, oh Lord? How long before you help us? How long before you come to our rescue? How long before we get back on our feet?
Amen.
And sometimes when we do not see what God is doing, you live in a pleasure-crazed, mad world. Yeah. You live in a country that is pleasure-crazed.
Amen.
Look, it's all over the world. There's pro teams all over the world. When they say they won't play ball here, the first thing to do is go to Europe or somewhere, and they'll play ball. But that's just part of it. The whole system of the world is the lovers of pleasure more than the lovers of God. It's the first sign that we have come to where we cannot recover, is when we love pleasure more than we love God. Because if we love pleasure, we're going to seek pleasure. For where treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if you treasure pleasure, you're going to go after pleasure. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
But a man who loves God is going to seek God's heart. He's going to try to win God's heart. He's going to love to hear God's voice. He's going to want to know that God is really in his life.
Amen.
We don't have a big city. Dayton is not a big city compared to Columbus or Cincinnati. It's not even a speck on the map when you compare it to Tokyo and some of those that have multiplied millions like New York City. We're just a little speck on the road. But our daily paper tells us how mad our world is. One shot. One robbed. Home broken into. Just every day. Little old paper. Little old town. With more lawlessness than what we want to admit. And so lawless is it that we lock our doors. Amen. So lawless is it that we don't want to, we don't want our children out after dark.
Right.
And all of this has still not drove us back to God and His security. All of this has still not brought us back to bend the knees and a plea to God, be thou our help.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Be the fortress. Be the wall.
Amen.
Be the guard. Help us. We go days without asking God to help. And there it is. Where there is no vision, people perish. We're coming down to the part. What is your vision? The vision for your church. How do you see it? Do you see it in revival this year? Do you see God actively working in your church? Do you have a vision for your church? Do you see it? How do you see it? How do you see your church? You find more warts on it than you do things that are good? Do you find more fault with it than you do the good? Do you say there's more cliques than there is there ought to be? Well, chances are you got one yourself. But ain't no more than you and your husband. That's a clique. Nobody else is allowed in. Just you and him. You and her. Wow. I got personal, didn't I? Well, don't forgive me because I'm not asking for forgiveness. Before you look at somebody else and say there's a clique, how many times have you invited anybody into your little circle? How many times you've reached out to the down and the out, those that are less fortunate, those that don't have a nice home like you, or a nice car like you, or nice clothes like you? When's the last time you reached out to them? You see, we're very cliquish, and that cliquishness has brought us down to where we are not relying on God. We're not looking to God. Now, I gave you a fair opportunity a while ago. Brother Larry was up here. You could have broke this thing loose with him. And Brother Gary come, you could have broke this thing loose with him. Brother Shannon was up here first. You could have got with him. You didn't get with any of them, so you're with me now, baby. And if you don't like the way the ball is bouncing, sit down and listen to the old man. I'm going to tell you something tonight. You may not like it, but I'm going to tell you something. You're running out of time to get right.
Right. That's right.
You are running out of time to figure it out. You are out of time when it comes to getting younger. You're going to do it now or you're not going to get it done.
Right. Amen.
So we come to what David is trying to tell us. It's looking here that we see that the only answer is that we've got to come back sincerely. And the only way that you can is to see people with tears.
Right. Amen.
It's not shouting or dancing or running or hipping or hopping. It's tears.
Amen.
When we really get concerned, it will break us.
Amen.
When we really get concerned, it will bring us down.
Right.
When we really get concerned, we will remember before Jesus saved you, He wept in Gethsemane,
right.
He sweated blood in Gethsemane,
right.
And then He shed His blood in the Pilate's judgment hall and on Calvary's cross.
Right.
Tears precede commitment. Total commitment is started with tears. When we cry, then ask God, thy will, not my will, thy will be done. When we have prayed about that until we have cried over it, when we prayed about that until we have sweated great drops of blood, resisting sin, then we're beginning to see that we're really becoming dependent upon God.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, you say that, Brother Benny, look at your own altar calls. Who are the people that stays up here the longest? Our youth. These young girls and young boys will stay at the altar longer than any of us. They don't even have the problems of life yet. Bless their hearts. I love them every one. Beautiful girls. Handsome young men. They don't have the problem. They don't know what a problem is yet. Their problem is somebody not talking to them. My problem is I wish they'd quit talking to me. You see how things change? You offend because they won't let you in? I'm looking for a way out. It's all about how we are doing. The sacrifice of the cross was preceded by a garden experience that was worse agony than the cross itself.
Amen.
That agony had no end except the cross. And the cross had an end of death. Jesus knew once on the cross He could die, but not until He got to the cross. So the longer He stayed in the garden, and He went there three times, back again, and back again. And each time He went, it got heavier. One writer said He went a little bit further and fell on His face. He said, "My soul is in great sorrow."
Right.
He was not playing with what the world was going to do to him. He knew the world hated him, and the world was going to kill him and murder him. But yet he went back to prayer. He did not register a complaint. There's nowhere here in this prayer that you see him saying, "They're going to murder me, Father. Don't you care?" He said, "If it's possible, let this cup pass from me.
Right.
But nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done. If I must drink it, I will. If it's your will, I'll do it." Anybody say amen?
Amen.
Was that cup a pleasurable cup? No, it was a cup of great stigmatism. It was a cup of great sorrow. But he drank it for you and for me.
Right.
And there comes a time when every one of us must give way and ask God for the signs that we need to follow him into this deeper commitment to God. 2012 is going to call for commitment. We're not a church that has made it without commitment. We must be committed. We must be committed in our finances. We must be committed in our prayer life. We must be committed in our attendance. We cannot do as we've done in 2011 and come every whip stitch and think that it's going to be good enough. You cannot just stay home because you think staying home may feel good. You got to come to church. Why? Because the Bible says so. Failing not to assemble yourself, even the more so, as you see that day approach.
Right.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Don't put God there in that position, because you're going to hurt yourself. See, God knows when you're really after him with all your heart. And when you search for him with all your heart, he'll be found.
Right.
Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you.
Yes.
Look at David's situation. He's a new king. He just now got in leadership. Shall he fail his people the first time out? Will the Philistines whip him the first time up? No, God that made him king. He's going to fight this first battle because David inquired, "Shall I go up?"
Amen.
And God said, "Go up, you'll surely prevail." And God fought for him and he won. But then here they come again. Now God looks at the second time. What will he do now? He's already won the approval of the people. He's already won a battle. What will he do? I tell you what David does. He gets his sword that is dipped in the blood of Philistines. He lays it upon the altar, gets down on his knees and said, "God, shall I go up against these Philistines? I've killed their champion Goliath. I have fought battles and I've won. But what shall I do again?" And he lays that sword that he knows how to use on the altar.
Right.
He bows those knees that have run through troops and leaps over walls at an altar. He bows that kingly head that now holds a crown at an altar. He bows before God and says to God, just like he did when he's a shepherd boy, that he remembers that only the reason why that he is here now is because God delivered him out of the paw of the bear and out of the mouth of the lion.
Right.
And out of the hand of Goliath.
Right.
And out of the hand of Saul. Everything that David has went back to God. God has, God has, God has, God has.
Amen.
You see, we got to come back to the thing that really works.
Yes.
And so David listens instructed. It's especially to the instructions. And this is the instructions. God again said, I will give you a victory, but you've got to do it my way. You're not just going to go up like you did the first time. Next time you're going to come pass around them. That means go around them. You get behind them. You do it like I say, David. You come pass them about. You take a detour. You go around and you set up over there around those mulberry trees and you sit there till you hear the going in the top of them. You sit there, David. You don't give a speech. You sit there, David. You tell your men, "I'm waiting on the sound that God told me would come.
Amen.
I'm not afraid of the Philistines." Those men were ready and eager for battle. They wanted to get it over with. They wanted to go back home. They wanted to go back to their wives and their children, to their house, to their farms. They wanted to get back to doing it. Let's get it over with. David said, "We can't. We need help to win this battle. And our help cometh from the Lord,
right,
who made heaven and earth."
Right.
Our help comes from the same God that gave victory to Joshua, to Caleb.
Right.
Our God is a God that can give victory, but you've got to wait on Him.
Amen.
So here we are tonight, we're going through this, and it said, when thou hearest the sound in the top of the mulberry trees, when you hear that moving, then you'll know that God is stirring Himself, and when you hear it, then you've got to stir yourself.
Right.
When God gets ready, that's the time to move.
Amen.
How many know that old song? When God gets ready, you got to move.
Right.
So how is this affecting us? I'll tell you what it does. It just means that the moving in the top of the trees means that the army of heaven is ready on the march.
Yeah.
That they're going out before you.
Right.
That the fire of the Lord's chariots is going out before you. That the angels of the Lord are going out before you. That God Almighty Himself is going before you to fight your battle. All of a sudden, that sound is very important because it puts God in front of you. If you move too soon, God's behind you. That's a good place for God. But God, we don't need a God behind us. We need a God in front of us. We need a God in front of us that will fight our battle. That will withstand our foe. We need a God in front of us that will be our shield and our buckler. We need a God in front of us that will be our commander. That will tell us how to win in a no-win situation. You see, you can have a no-win situation and God can still win the battle. That's where it's at here, David, was to wait for this signal to advance. We learn the necessary lesson here of listening, hearkening to, and obeying a heavenly sound. It's not a trumpet. No, it's not a trumpet. It's not a voice. It's a sound on top of a mulberry tree.
Amen.
Oh, not very many people want to listen like that. How can you tell a gentle breeze from the sound that you're listening to, David? Don't you know the wind's going to blow where it lists? It's going to do whatever it wants to do. How are you going to know which sound is the right sound? David said, you just got to learn to trust the voice of God.
Amen.
When you trust Him long enough and you trust Him all your life, you know Him.
Amen.
You know Him when He walks in the room. You know Him when He stands beside your bed. You know Him in the darkest night. You know Him. Oh, I'll know, David said. I'll know. I'll give you the word. Just trust me. Trust me now. I know Him, and He's never failed me yet.
Right.
Come on, somebody shout amen.
Amen.
How many know you got to trust Him?
Amen.
Though you may not understand Him, you got to trust Him.
Right.
Though you may not be able to fathom His ways, they are so much higher than ours, yet you got to trust Him. You don't always understand what He's doing, but you got to know He is doing it.
Amen.
And when He tells you to do it, when you're supposed to do it, that's when you do it, and that's when you get the victory.
Yep, that's right.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God.
Sound of a going. A sound of a going. What is a sound of a going? We don't know. The Bible doesn't describe it. It just said it happened. And there are times when we must understand that God sends out His advance guard, and the reason that He does is to prepare for you the victory. Look at what God has done for us. Look at how God has helped us. Brother Larry can look back on his times at Dryden Road as a boy growing up here, leaving here and going to Bible college. He can tell you about the young people that was in church with him, and he can stand up here and tell you there's very few of them that are still in church. Somebody didn't understand the voice of God. Somebody didn't catch God. Somebody didn't understand the will of God. We have young people that belong to this church, that belong to the parents, that go to this church and have been faithful to this church, that are not here in this church. Why? How did we lose them? Somehow in their developing of spiritual insight, they never got to where they understood. They couldn't hear the goings. They couldn't sense the leadings. And young people, let me preach to you just a little bit as an old man. Nothing is more important to you than your Bible. Nothing is more important to you than the Holy Ghost.
Right.
With the Bible, With the Holy Ghost, you'll learn the goings.
Right.
You'll learn to take everything back to the Word. And if it's not in the Bible, I don't care how exciting it is, dump it.
Right.
The devil can give you all kinds of sensations, but God wants to lead you.
Amen.
The devil can give you one thrill after another thrill, but God wants to lead you. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are. They are. They are. Present tense. Right now. Right now they are. The
right.
Children of God.
Right.
And I will be after a while. You can be a child of God as young as you want to be. But you've got to learn to take this word as God's word. And watch the leading of the Spirit of the Lord.
Right.
If the Spirit of God makes you feel inside like it shouldn't be done, don't do it! No matter who's telling you, I don't think there's anything wrong with you. If the Spirit of God in you is trying to lead you out of that trap, don't fall for it.
Amen.
I don't care if they do say, well, I've done it, don't feel bad about it. I don't care. I don't trust your feeling. My soul's at stake. Your feeling may be sending you to hell. I want to know what's biblical. And I want to know it's approved by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Hallelujah.
David was just that kind of a young man. He had lived his life in that kind of freedom and liberty of knowing God. He was never in bounds and never at odds with God. He always tried to do what God wanted him to do. And that brought up a love and a loyalty for the truth of God. He knew God could not and will not ever lie.
Right.
Amen.
How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
If the Lord says it, you can say it's going to be done.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So David knew that when God said, you here are going in the top of the mulberry trees, and all you've got to do is get those troops over and wait under those mulberry trees, and if you'll just get over there and lead these people over there, David, get them over there and get them set up, and when you hear me going in the top of the mulberry trees, straight up, David, pull at them, get them up and get them out on the field, for I'll go before you, and I will fight your battle. How many know if you obey God, he'll fight your battles? And that's what David did. All David had to do was get over there. I wish it was so easy in our day. God is looking for somebody who will wait. Wait in prayer.
There you go.
Wait until God gives you a soul to pray for. Wait till God gives you a name.
Right.
Wait till your soul really gets touched. Till you can't hardly think of that person without crying. You can't think of them dying lost.
Right.
You can't think of them burning in a hell. If you got a burden like that, is anybody on your heart anywhere? Is anyone got anyone like that on you that you can't sleep at night because of? And you can't hardly eat a decent meal because of? And when you think of them, your eyes run wet with tears. Do you have such a one that's in the grip of Satan? Do you have such a one that's locked up in the prison of darkness? Do you have such a one that is caught in the vice of sin and cannot by no ways deliver themselves? Are you weeping? Are you waiting? Are you listening? I'll never forget Fred Butler, and the Butlers were very important people to Pentecostal churches over there. Fred told me one day, as I was his pastor, he said, I never said this very often, but I want to tell you because you believe so much in what God tells you and you try to obey what God tells you. He said, I want to tell you one time that God done something for me. I said, oh, sure, I want to hear it. I'm very interested in it. He said, I was praying one morning, he said, and the Holy Ghost came upon me and he said, I want you to quit praying here and I want you to get in your car and I want you to drive to the square. And everybody that lives, if you've ever been to Bedford, Indiana, know we got a square. Right there, smack dab in the middle of the town. Drive around it one way. He said, I want you to get up there and I want you to pull up and park on the square. And he said, I want you to go out and sit on the fender of your car. Back then you could sit on the fender. Had fenders set on. You know, and he said, okay, Lord, I can do that. That's not hard. So he got in his car, drove uptown, parked on the square, and sat there. An hour went by. He sat there and spoke to people. People stopped and talked to him. Holy Ghost didn't say anything to him. He just sat there, and half a day went by. They got over in the afternoon, and the afternoon was going by, and he said, I must have misunderstood God. It must have been me. I spent all day here, and I've not heard anything else. Just about the time he was about ready to lose heart with what he was doing, the Holy Ghost spoke to him and said, that's him. I want you to speak to him. Fred said he got up off his fender and stood in this man's way to stop him. He said, sir, he said, I don't know you, and you don't know me, and I hope you don't think I am forward in what I'm going to do. But he said, I want you to know that God sent me here, and I've been waiting for you all day, and God told me that I should talk to you. The man just broke and cried. He just broke and just wept right there, right publicly, right in front of everybody. He just broke and wept. And he said, oh man, you don't understand. If you hadn't been here to stop me, I was getting in my car. I was going to go out in the country. I was going to blow my brains out because I couldn't take anything else. And there was a man, led of the Spirit, that got there just in time. Here we have the Holy Ghost and a whole city of perishing people. I admit I'm at a loss for words when it comes to explain us. I'm at a loss for words. We're intelligent. We got plenty. And now a lot of us got time. But the Holy Ghost isn't tapping us on the shoulder for anything. He's not tapping us on the shoulder for nothing. He's leaving us alone. And I wonder why it is that nobody, that God can find no use for us, except that we come here and do what we do. And is that really what we're all about? Is this the extent of what we are? I hear the old song ringing in my ear, rescue the perishing. Rescue the perishing. David was just told to wait, listen for the sound of the going in the top of the mulberry tree. He said, God said, if you'll just do that, when you hear the sound, you'll know that I'm on the march. I'm advancing with my army. I'm going to lead you into a victory. All David was told to do was wait. Wait. Wait, David, wait. But we don't wait in prayer. In fact, we don't stay in prayer. Necessary lesson of listening and hearkening are no longer in holiness. Obedience is a rare form of anything in holiness. Obedience. Where God would tell us to do it and we would do it no matter what. It sounds like I don't like you, doesn't it? But I wonder what our defect is. This church is not a new church. This church was started about the year I was born, back in the early 40s. It's as old as I am. I know it's done more than I'll ever do. And I'm not going to compare myself with it because it has a great record. It has a great history. It is to be admired. It's weathered the storm. It's weathered great casualties, but it's weathered the storm. We're still here. But as we get closer to the coming of the Lord, ever there was a need for somebody to get in the ark of safety, your children are out there lost. Surely the Lord is still talking. Surely there is a deeper desire. There is a deeper love than what we possess. Surely there is something more important to us than another new something. Surely there is something that is more precious to us than just being in the status quo. I think there is. I think that when we look around, you know, I wait for that person to start. Nicole came up to me, Sister Nicole, and we've had a good relationship. Ever since she got saved, I've been on her like a hound on a rabbit's trail. I don't give her rest day or night. I told her, I said, you're going to make me a good wholeness woman. I'm going to be on you. You're going to do that. And she's coming right along. She come up to her pastor the other day and she said, the Lord moved on me in my house or where she was working at. And she said, he told me, he said, we don't pray enough. I said, did he give you any names? She said, no. I said, the only impression that you had was that. I said, then sister, he was talking to you. He was talking to you. It's not the preacher or the deacon, but it's me, O Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. You can pass the buck and pass the buck and pass the buck, but after a while, you got to understand it's going to start with you.
Right. Amen.
I'm not asking 15 people to start. I'm asking one person to start. I'm not seeking the whole congregation in one night to repent, but I'm asking you to change your mind about the way you've been doing things. I'm asking you to look again at the value of souls that are around you. David had a kingdom now. It was not just his little band of mighty men. He had a nation that he had to lead. And David was going to have to get to the place where he was sensitive to the Spirit of God. And it wasn't long until David was on the throne and he had defeated his enemies and he'd become at ease in Zion. And then the throne was kicked out from under him and his crown hit the ground because David no longer was sensitive to God and his law and his Spirit. And God would say to David, you have given the enemy great occasion to blaspheme. And I wonder, as we face this year, is there any intercession in you? Is there ever going to be a day when you just put it aside to pray for the perishing? Is there anyone here who knows that without the Holy Ghost we can't pray? We got to have the wind on top of the trees. We got to have that sign that he's around. We got to have that sound like they did in the upper room of a mighty rushing wind. We got to have that sound again. We got to hear the tromping of the feet of God's army. We've got to understand and get ready for we got to move. It's soon going to be too dark to work. The night's coming when no man can work. And we got to get down into the trench now and fight this last battle and get them in or they're not going to be in.
Right.
Amen.
I know. You think I'm an old man. I am.
That's the Lord.
I am.
Blessing
them of God. And I've seen a lot of people go to hell. Yeah. And I've seen a lot of people go to heaven.
Amen.
And still when I think about those people who went to hell, it makes me want to cry. When I think about them now, in eternity, with no hope, it still makes my heart just choke up. There's times that I've preached funerals that I've danced and shouted because they made it. But there's been times when I've stood there by the casket with tears in my eyes and a lump in my throat as I listened to him said, oh, my own sister, God love her heart. When her boy was found in the bottom of that blue hole and the state trooper lifted him out and put him in my arms and I laid him out up there. I looked into his face. I'll never forget that face as long as I live. I can still hear my sister at the casket of that little boy. She wanted to lift him out, take him home. And she kept on saying, if I could just do it over again, if Mommy could just do it over again, I could just do it over again. But there's some things you can't do over again. Once they're on the other side of that veil, it's over. Now while there's a beating in their heart, seeing in their eyes, hearing in their ears, now's the time for you to learn how to cry and to intercede and to say to God, you give me the sign of the sound of you going before me, I'll talk to them. You give me the sound that you're with me in this, and I'll pray for them. And tonight I'm going to ask you, is there anyone here that's interested in a sound? It's in the top of the mulberry tree that we're under right now. Can anyone here take a little bit more opportunity and a little bit more expressed interest? And is there anyone here that would be so optimistic that you can see you winning a soul in 2012? Is there anyone here that would like to become a soul winner in this year? Is there anybody here that would say to God, if you'll just give me the sign and let me hear the sound and let me know that you're with me and let me know that you're going to help me in this battle, that I will give you my time and I will give you my heart and I will give you the effort that it takes. I will pray when you put that on my heart. I will carry them on my heart. I will put them in my mind. And I will do what you want me to do to win them to Christ. One man wanted to go to Chicago. It's a young preacher and his wife. And they got this man who was down in the slums, and it's where he ministered. They said, we want to see Chicago. And that man said, no, you don't. And the young preacher and his wife said, oh, yes, we do. He said, oh, no, you don't. Yes, we do. I said, okay. So he took him down through the lowlifes, down underground. He showed him the backside of Chicago. The young preacher and his wife come out. They was really concerned, but they walked away. The young preacher was telling the story of this man that had took them, showed them Chicago, whose heart was wrapped up in Chicago. They said they heard him. He walked with the limp. And they said they heard him take several steps, that uneven gait that he had, and then he stopped. The young man said to his wife, we better go see. Something's wrong. They found him leaning on a light pole, weeping, sobbing, crying, and saying to God, oh God, these sins are killing me, Lord. These sins are killing me, Lord. Oh God, these sins are killing me. That man carried a burden for a whole city. I read of a Savior who looked at Jerusalem and wept. I said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I would have gathered you as a hen doth her brood, and you would not. And he wept, not only at Lazarus' grave, but he wept over a city who he knew was so sinful it was going to murder him. Oh, you're not helping me preach. We must come. It is that time. We must come now. We must understand that the Lord and the Lord only can have to go before us, but he's promised to. And if we will go but before, wait on the Lord to go before us, he will soften that heart.
Amen.
No man can come to Jesus except the Father's Spirit draw him. He's got to go before us. But our tears will send the signal to God that we're in earnest. You want him saved? You want him saved? Or are you just going to sit there and let him go to hell? You want him saved? There's a sound. When you hear it, humble yourself. Listen to Moses when he says to God, if you're going to blot them out of your book, blot me out too. Listen to Jeremiah when he said, oh, that my head was water and my eyes were fountains that I could weep for the slain of the daughters of Israel. Do you wish that somebody would get saved? Are you saying of your church, we don't see people saved? I want to tell you, you are the church. It's not the building. It's the attitude and the passion of those who sit in it. Help me, Holy Ghost. You can give me 15 reasons why it's not you that I'm preaching to. I'll give you one good reason that it is. You're here tonight. I'll give you another good reason. If God can't depend on you, who's He going to depend on? Your backslidden children? Already cold, already indifferent? They're affecting your grandchildren? Your grandchildren now are in jeopardy? Your grandchildren now are in jeopardy? Because we waited a long time to get our children in, now our grandchildren are in jeopardy. They sit at home, they don't want to come to church, they don't want to pray, they don't want anything to do with church, they'd rather be anywhere else than church. I tell you, that's the mark of a drifting soul that's headed towards trouble. And the trouble is that they'll drift so far that they can't ever get back. Horrible story told of a young boy that was set on a rock. And told his, the dad told him, said, just sit there and fish. And he got in his boat and wasn't paying any attention, fishing, having a great time. Didn't know he was drifting until it got so late. And he remembered that the tide was coming in. And with everything he had, he rowed as hard as he could. But he didn't beat the tide back to the rock. And because of his drifting, not paying attention, because of the pleasure he was having, he lost something he could never replace. Let me talk to you a minute. Enjoying what you're doing? Having pleasure in what you're doing? What about those that are perishing? Can you afford to lose another one? I don't think so. I don't think so. Father, oh Father, forgive us of our inconsistencies. Forgive us of our unconcern. Forgive us. If you can trust us with a soul, we apologize for everything that we have been. And in this sunset, where our sun is setting and we know it, the night is fast coming. I can still hear as a country boy when they used to step out on the porch and holler, come in, come home, it's time to come home. And we knew it was time to quit our playing and come home. Father, somehow in my faintness of my hearing, I hear a voice that says, it's time to come home. Night is setting in. I want my children home before dark. And I believe, Lord, the rapture is going to happen before long because it's getting dark. And the evening is coming. And I think you're going to bring us home before it gets dark here. But I want to know, Father, can you trust us? Can we depend on you to work with us? Will you please give us another chance? Will you help us to make sure that none of our people are going to be lost? Well, that's a horrible word, Father, lost. Especially when you put the word soul on the end. There goes a lost soul. like a child out in the night at the mercy of the elements, at the mercy of a predator, so was a lost soul at the mercy of a devil. Would you please help us to awake to the sound in the top of the mulberry tree? We can see there's hope for one last revival, one last reaching out, one last bringing in before it's all over. We will thank you for it. Amen. I challenge you, change your ways. Son, I tell you that you're here by the mercies of God. If it hadn't been for your mom and dad and people who love you praying for you, it's untelling what a mess you would have been in right now. The reason you're sitting here tonight, because God had mercy. You make fun of him this time. You take it lightly. You let this go without giving God back what he's asked. The next time there'll be no help, and you can mark it down. You need to come home before it's dark. Some of you right now, as you feel the stirring of the mulberry tree, you hear the sound, you feel the burden, you feel the importance of it. You need to do something about it right now. You need to do something about it quickly before the devil comes and your eyes dry and your conscience gets hard again and your heart gets cold again. You need to come right now with that burden that you have, that name that's on your mind right now. And you need to come and pray for somebody. That's the only way to do it. Thank you.